after having gone through the last two really shitty years in Detroit, I was in a place where I'm still figuring out and finding my legs. And I was feeling extremely vulnerable. I was feeling lonely. I was feeling confused. And I couldn't hide it. And so all I really wanted to do was connect.
The brain has this fundamental understanding that connection and status, that's what we're after. Status is universal. Different cultures have different ways by which it rewards status. So in the West, it's about individual achievement, and that's because we are individualists. But today, especially on Instagram, you know, you're flicking through it and there's Tim Ferriss, and there's Steve Jobs, and there's Sheryl Sandberg, and there's Beyonce or whoever it is. And there's me, you know, and even though you know intellectually, logically, analytically that I'm not Sheryl Sandberg, I'm not Steve Jobs, you know, it would be silly to compare myself to these people. You still do, because that's the way that your brain works. You still get that little hit. So that's why it's so potentially dangerous.
At the start of 2013, I was really stuck. I was close to giving up on all of my creative dreams, and I was even submitting resumes to try to find a job. But when I went to my friend AJ's conference, I met my first mentor. The talk I gave became a best-selling book, and I met about a dozen people who bought tickets to our first conference. I went from having $600 in the bank to six figures in the bank within 6 months. And none of that would be possible just by interacting with people from behind a computer screen.
Well, I think the key observation is that our social brain doesn't know what to make of ASCII characters on a glowing glass screen, right? It doesn't associate that with social connection. You know, it's a completely different part of your brain that's reading, let's say, a comment on a social media post or a text message. That's going through the networks of your brain that do sort of reading and abstract comprehension. And it's almost completely unrelated to this highly evolved social network. That social network in our brain, what that requires is the rich stream you get in analog communication, the pacing of voice, the timbre. Is there limbic consonants? So if you're in person, little things about your body movement, how you're actually framing yourself vis-a-vis the other person. It's an incredibly rich, high bandwidth stream that we have this powerful computer behind our ears that does nothing but thrive on that, take that in, process it, figure it out, integrate that into your standing in the world and your community. It's very, very important.
Every day, we interact with each other from behind the comfort of our screens and devices. Yet we're more lonely and isolated than ever. Facebook might have a mission to make the world more open and connected, but the more we use it, the more closed off and disconnected we seem to become. We sit across the dinner table from people with our heads buried in screens. All you have to do is walk through an airport or a hotel lobby and everyone has their head buried in their phone. And this isn't just an American thing. I saw it everywhere on my recent trip to India too. We treat social media as a viable substitute for human contact, but it's not. In the words of Cherry Turkle, billions of people are alone together. What can you really tell about another person from their Instagram uploads and status updates? You don't hear their voice, feel their warmth or their pain. There's no Facebook photo album for a person's inner turmoil. We witness a highly curated version of someone's life, and we draw conclusions about who they are and what they're like. A couple of months back, I was with my parents and two of their really close friends, who they meet for dinner almost every week, sometimes twice a week.
Yes, we meet almost every, if possible, we meet almost every weekend or definitely once in 2 weeks.
I mean, I feel like I see them all the time. Like, we've been friends for a long time. Why is that? Like, why do you guys do that? And why do you think people in my generation are not more like this?
Yeah, the reason why we meet, because first of all, we in India, we have a lot of festivals. So we like to celebrate during festival season, the family gets together and they enjoy the food and all. So that's why we want to keep that tradition going. And especially because my generation, okay, depending on what kind of activities. So this way we can meet and then we can plan how do we spend our coming life, you know, because as we grow old, our activities, so we have to think, okay, what are the activities, what we can do, like travel, like for example, we go to cruises or every year, one country we wanted to go and see as a group. So that way we can enjoy.
Why do you think that people in my generation and young people aren't more like this? Like, why is it that, you know, most of my friends, I don't see them twice a week and some of them live really close to me?
That's probably because the generation. Okay, because in our generation, so we actually, during festivals, all our family members will get together. So we want to maintain the same tradition here. But the presentation outlook is different. Okay, because you guys have different activities and like that, and compatibility, and that's why the kind of environment you guys grew up is different than ours.
Do you think that we would be better off if we met more often in person, like the people in my generation?
Yeah, I think it'd be good. You can, if you meet frequently, and you guys can solve each other's problems. If you have any problem, they can help each other, and then you can decide on community help or even the group. If you guys can meet together, you can discuss, and if you have any problems, self problems, or how do we resolve this, you can easily solve the problems.
According to happiness researchers, social support is one of the biggest determinants of our happiness, yet it's slowly disappearing from our lives. We don't know or talk to our neighbors, we hardly ever see our friends, we text more than we call, and we sacrifice the time we have with the people who matter most to us to become online spectators in the lives of people we've never even met. In a recent episode of Hidden Brain, researchers conducted a study where two groups rode the subway. People thought they would be happier if nobody talked to them, but the group that started conversations with strangers rated themselves as being much happier. Without conversation, studies show that we're less empathetic, less connected, less creative, and fulfilled. We're diminished in retreat, says Sherry Turkle. It's easier to look down at your phone than it is to risk rejection by starting a conversation with a stranger. But it's also how you'll develop the most important relationships of your life. Swiping left or right is transactional. You can't find trust, authenticity, or intimacy using Google. And exchanging texts and emails doesn't give you a chance to really connect spirit to spirit with someone. If what you want is a meaningful relationship that goes beyond the surface, at some point, you have to get to know a person face to face, says Brian Grazer. You might be able to learn from another person by hearing their voice on a podcast, reading their blogs or book, hiring them to be your virtual mentor, or taking their online course. But there are limits to the intimacy and depth of any bond when you don't meet each other in person. Robert Greene, the author, says you want as much personal interaction with a mentor as possible, that a virtual relationship is never enough. When your interaction with another person is purely digital, you don't see beyond the avatar or persona they've constructed online. Even the most authentic people you know create social masks and personas. You can only see beyond those masks when you meet them in person. You might remember Greg Hartle, who was my earliest mentor.
If you want to invite me to come over to your house and sit in your living room and have a conversation about your life and my life and your business or my business or the world, I am literally on the first plane out. I don't care if I know you or not. I will sit in your living room and do that. If you want to send me a fucking tweet about some product you've launched, I don't give a fuck. And that's the world that I live in. And it's not that I don't care about the product you launched.
Yeah.
It's that I have to have profound experiences with you. And I want you to have profound experiences with me. And I will literally spend every dollar I have and every waking moment I have ensuring that we have that, whether we know each other or not, because we're connected as human beings.
And we did. We sat in the living room at my parents' house. And for 2 weeks, we talked about my dreams, goals. And Greg even came up with the name Unmistakable Creative. I met him on Twitter, but he didn't change my life until I met him in person. The people you meet on the internet can change your life, but they change it in a much bigger way when you meet them in person. I've met some amazing people via social media, but they changed my life because I met them in person. I reconnected with a friend 18 years after we graduated from high school. I was the best man at his wedding, and today he's one of my best friends because we met each other in person. One of my other mentors is someone I snowboard with on a regular basis. When we raised our first round of venture funding, he was one of my first references. We connected on the internet, but our friendship happened in person. And I want this to be possible for you, which is why I'm inviting you to come and meet me and some of our most amazing podcast guests in person at the Architects of Reality. And this is an event unlike any other, with no laptops, smartphones, social media, hotel ballrooms, or venues that suck. At the Unmistakable Creative, we think a conference should be more like a rock concert.